Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants. They fight against oxidants that damage the cell's DNA, causing mutations that lead to disease. In my lab, I've seen the immune response increase, I've seen your DNA repair capacity increase, and I've seen DNA protection. As a scientist, I know that Balance of Nature works.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Receive 25% off your first preferred purchase of Balance of Nature. Plus, get a set of convenient travel bottles containing a free additional week's supply of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. With these discounts, you will still receive free shipping on every order. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
The following show is proudly made in the USA, but secretly owned by China and is motivated by oil interests in the Middle East. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Confiscation, and is there a difference?
The same way we got machine guns done. We are capable of doing it. Other countries have been, and we've done it in the past. You have to set up a system, yeah, that is mandatory.
This liberal will be all about socializing, would be about basically taking over and the government running all of your companies.
And maybe you have to swallow a little bit and say, okay.
But I will always be real with you. I will be bold without the bowl.
You demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics, call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it.
Wow. Those are some interesting statements. I'm a socialist. I mean, just want control, says Maxine. Whoops. I'll be bold without the bold.
That's a good one.
That didn't make sense. Well, welcome to the show. And yeah, we're going to take your guns. Well, at least they're finally out with it. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I welcome you. I've got Uncle Melty here. How are you?
Yay, I'm good.
And Chris Ann Hall won't be joining us today because it's her birthday, I know. And so make sure you wish her happy birthday. She will be back next week. And I know it's been a couple of weeks, and so I'm feeling my withdrawals from Chris Ann Hall coming on the show. And she takes this week off every year. So to celebrate. So I'm glad that she's got some time off and that she's taking care of herself, her family, and doing her thing. So that's good. And make sure you get over to the website, katedalyradio.com. You can share the podcast of the show, and there are all kinds of podcasts there. Balance of Nature is there as well. And you know, I take this product and you know that I talk about it a lot because it sure is making a big difference in our lives. And that's why I share it with you. I really searched hard for the product that had it all. And this had the drink that went with it that actually makes such a difference in your overall health and body. And so you get all the fruits and vegetables, and then you have a drink that really stabilizes your health. And as fall and winter are approaching, it doesn't feel like it with the heat, but as far as that goes, they are approaching, and you might as well get healthy before we start spending a lot more time indoors. Get Balance of Nature, put in the code KATE when you order, and you'll get 25% savings. Isn't that awesome? And make sure to put in the code KATE, and that's for listening to the show. So we have a lot to talk about as far as what's going on with oil, what's you know, some things that are happening that have people concerned, and of course they should, because there's a lot going on. You know, there's some massive war drills going on after oil refinery explosions. Saudi Arabia, Italy, Mexico, there's all kinds of things going on. And how does that affect us? Gas prices jumped a little.
Just a touch.
Just a touch. And so people are saying, you know, and I always reserve the, is this fear-mongering kind of stuff too, because I know how that can go. I've been doing this long enough that I try not to venture into the very, very fearful types of articles and things like that, because you can kind of see through that a little bit, right? Saudi Arabia's most important oil refinery being targeted with a sophisticated cruise missile attack. Using advanced nation-state technology, possibly.
Where'd they get that?
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, there was an article today about the Fed pumping, I think it was $75 billion into the system. And so what is really going on? They're pumping billions of dollars of emergency funds into the nation's banks to keep them solvent. It's kind of like a storm is going on, kind of like one of those perfect storms, not in the great sense, but just a perfect storm of a lot of things. And it involves shale, the shale revolution. It involves farmers. It involves major companies like Sanchez Energy, Halcon Resources, all kinds of. There's about almost 30 other oil and gas producers that have filed for bankruptcy this year with shale. And, you know, they were supposed to sort of they were supposed to get to a point where that paid off in profit, but it hasn't, and it's not. And so there's a lot to be said about this. In fact, over the course of the last 10 years, following several decades, right, of stagnation, oil production, it surprised many of us to become the largest oil producer in the world, did it not? I mean, that was kind of surprising, but good, right? We exceeded Russia as well as Saudi Arabia. And the latest daily production is just above 12 million gallons, or I'm sorry, barrels a day. Barrels, 12 million barrels a day. So last year, around this time, for the first time in decades, the U.S. became a net oil exporter. And the energy boom came in a world where, you know, oil kind of determines the growth of entire economies, right? Appear to be pretty great. But the increase kind of owes its exploitation, according to William Engdahl, of what is called shale oil, unconventional oil found in shale rock formations. So the U.S. Department of Energy projects a rise of 8 to 8.8 million barrels a day from shale alone. And now we're kind of seeing the first signs that maybe the shale boom isn't what it was guaranteed to be. And so that's something to look at. It doesn't necessarily mean we're falling off a cliff, but I think it is something to look at. And the idea of extracting oil or natural gas embedded in those shales, you know, shale rocks, that's been known for years, of course. And there was a new horizontal drilling technique, and it combined with oil prices of about $100 or more a barrel. That was about two decades ago. And then in the hydraulic fracturing or fracking, oil embedded in shale rock, thousands of feet, you know, down below, injected with water and all kinds of things, right, to pull that out. We were getting pretty excited about this, and we should have been. I mean, it looks good. But things are starting to get interesting, and that's what Engdahl was saying as he really dives into this and was really posting about this. He was talking about the West Texas intermediate marker grade of oil is around $58 a barrel, and it has been for months. So the price has not shot up as many thought it was going to, despite the disruptions in Venezuela and in Iran and around the Persian Gulf. So this puts shale well production, much of which today is in the Permian Basin in West Texas, or a Bakken in North Dakota, at kind of a delicate point. And so it's just something to watch that might not be good. And then also what's going on with farming. Farming is something not talked about, but a big deal. You know, it's funny because when you look at this, when you look at kind of everything that's going on right now, what shale was supposed to be, you know, profiting for the banks, what this is why the Fed is pumping in money. You always have to look at why they're pumping in money. So is there a U.S. farming crisis going on? Well, the American farm sector is undergoing a crisis. If you want to just go back to the 1980s and compare since then. So they have extreme snow and then unusually heavy rainfall across the Midwest farm belt this spring and summer. And it's delayed or reduced crop plantings. Now, we've heard that story before, right? It's weather.
Yep,
It's considered weather. I get that.
That's what it's called.
This is why I was looking at this. And so that comes after several years of falling farm income because of government intervention, by the way.
There you go.
See?
You see that?
Oh, and EPA.
Well, that that is a situation where you... Mm-hmm. I heard a farmer say last week, right. Look, we understand that getting the government out of our business is going to create a problem for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually it's going to be good for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the farmer said.
Right.
Because they... Who said the government should artificially prop up a farm just because the weather's bad this year?
Right.
No, it doesn't create more food.
Mm-hmm.
It just props up the farm for a year.
Mm-hmm.
What about the days before that when if the farmer had a bad year, he went into some debt?
Yeah. Yep. I totally agree. See, look what happened with the EPA. So the U.S. EPA series of waivers to the oil industry then sharply cut the market for corn. So there are entire states where that's their main commodity are being hit by that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the intervention of government. So to make matters worse, so in retaliation, right, with this tariff on China goods, which Trump is right about this, and he needs to show them the door. This is how this is supposed to work. And for the presidents before never did it. They kowtowed to China. Let China make all the money. China's halted the import of U.S. farm products. So they're probably going to feel this, if they're not feeling it already. That doesn't mean that Trump's move was bad. It means that it's late in the game. We should have been doing this forever ago, but we haven't been. So we're playing catch up on that.
Yeah. The other thing is it's not, you know, we look at farming, I think a lot of people still look at farming in their mind as the Martin family with Lassie the dog,
in the
1950s. Archer Daniels Midland is not exactly the Martin family today. Why should the government be propping their farm up?
Right. No, it's true. It's true. So, if you look back to the Great Depression and agriculture, right, there's, the crisis of that. Farm production has been kind of a major pillar of our economy and exports. And so the farm crisis could become a factor in the next presidency. Now, I feel like Trump's probably going to win that in a landslide. So what does that mean? What's going to happen? And so, at a time when this farm income has fallen, so you have the farm income falling. You have shale not producing what they said they were going to produce by this time. And you have Wall Street and bankers getting antsy. And then you have the EPA, right? A blow to the market for corn, okay? Because they're handing out waivers. And then the EPA announced that it approved 31 of its 38 small refinery exemptions. Now, I understand oil and I get oil and... a lot of liberals are against oil. They don't even know why they're against oil, but they are as they drive their car to work. They are. But that's not what we're talking about. It's not about demonizing oil. It's about government intervention that messes with everything. And then the output is the broken window theory. You know, that's what we're always talking about on the show is, okay, well, then what's the result and outcome? And so... a major loss in corn ethanol consumption. So there could be some issues there. And we'll come back to this in just a second. But I wanted to go over this because I didn't have time yesterday. But I felt like, looking at the domino effect, that is something to look at. It's not fear-mongering. It's just something to look at and be very, very aware of that it could affect us, affect our oil prices in the future, and affect, a whole string of things. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show with Uncle Milty.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Trouble, bad dog in my school since the day I was born.
Hi there, welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. I'm Kate Daly, your host. I've got Uncle Milty here with me. Go to katedalyradio.com. You can also email us, kate@katedalyradio.com, or Uncle Milty at katedalyradio.com. I enjoy the hate mail as much as I do the nice mail, so you're welcome to tell me what you think. It's okay. I won't fall apart. Imagine that in America. I actually will not fall apart. We got to stop being such snowflakes. So welcome back. We'll take your calls, 888-673-1450. This is interesting. In today's show, I wanted to cover this, and then in the next hour, I wanted to have Peter Pitts on, former FDA, and talk about drugs and Medicare in a little bit more detail as well. We had him on, I think, a week ago. And vaping, all kinds of stuff, actually. There's a new kind of mafia-esque cost that they're making the pharmacies pay now.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you won't believe this one. Anyway. So I just wanted to talk about, you've got the ethanol fiasco, you've got prices that the farm income has fallen pretty dramatically. You've got a kind of a myriad of things going on right now. And so you've also got trade with China and how they handle that. But that was not a problem caused by Trump. And I hope people realize that that wasn't a problem caused by Trump with China. We've kowtowed to China for years. Ask yourself why everyone else kowtowed to him. And go ahead.
Well, anyone who thinks that we're going to straighten out all these little messes without some problems to get back to normal is not wide awake.
Right, right. The wheat prices have dropped by 50%. Since 2012. Corn prices are down by 50%. We've got a lot going on there. And this is a time when you've got a lot of farms in debt, too. So it's kind of it's a storm. It's a storm. And there's a lot to it.
But if wheat dropped by 50%, then I think that probably means it was way overvalued.
If it
wasn't way overvalued, it couldn't have dropped 50% overnight.
Okay. There's that. And so I think farming is because there were some articles, I think a couple of weeks ago, we were actually going to go over about farming, that talked a lot about these same kinds of things and what they're experiencing and, being kind of the heart and soul of our country, we should probably listen to what they're having to deal with too, so that it can be helped, but not helped government style. I'm hoping, hi caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Kate.
Hi there.
I'm Milty, Sam Cole.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Where I want to weigh in on this is to kind of echo exactly what you're saying regarding China. There's been plenty of administrations that have sold China the all the military hardware and various other computer secrets to get them to be the pain that they are now. So this is the thing that people need to keep in mind, among one of which, who was real big at selling our secrets and various other things to China, was the Clinton administration.
Yeah. Absolutely. China Gate.
So, yeah, let's not forget those little pieces of history. I'm not saying you guys are, but I'm just reminding everybody out there listening that this goes back a long, long way.
Yeah, it does. A lot of treason, actually, and nobody wants to admit that. And so then everybody jumps on Trump for trying to right the wrong. And you know what? There are repercussions from righting the wrong because now they have that power. Now they have so much power. In fact, they own our pig farms. I mean, my gosh, they have Wall Street. They own so much now that, yes, it can become an issue, but that doesn't mean you don't try to right the wrong.
No, and since we're into dream mode to some extent, one dream I'd like to see fulfilled, but I don't know if it'll ever be fulfilled by anybody. If we're going to do tariffs, let's get rid of the income tax.
Oh, please. Yes. Music to our ears. Thank you. Appreciate that, Sam.
That's all
You're
I got.
Great. Thanks, Sam.
Maybe they're just trying to bankrupt the Chinese-owned farms so we can get them back.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. So let me say this. There's a lot of people kind of needling for a war. We've got a lot of contention going on with this. And be very, very wary about that. There's a new sales pitch possibly going on. The finest anti-air systems, but sometimes they don't work, says Pompeo. Pompeo, I'm sorry. I don't love Pompeo, if you could guess, and I didn't love Bolton. You know, it was funny. I saw an article about him not being sort of the neocon that people think he is, and that there were he went about things in a different way. He saw things in a different way. And I still think he's a neocon. I still think he's one of those that saw everything as a war solution to every problem. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the only way out. And that's not true. And I actually do respect Trump for trying to rein it in a little bit and to negotiate, to talk, to figure things out. I do respect that about him. I don't know how somebody couldn't. I mean, are we really that desperate to go to war? And so, you know, we've got a little trade war going on right now, and that's enough war for me. Jeez, that has enough fallout itself. I mean, I can't imagine us begging for more.
You know that from 2005 to 2015, mm-hmm. the amount of croplands in the United States that were mm-hmm. owned by foreign entities doubled.
Yeah.
And forest even more. Forest went from 7 mm-hmm. million acres to 14 million acres.
Wow.
Owned by foreign holdings.
Interesting. You know, there's a lot of things hitting, like the growing of corn. See, a lot of people don't understand. The growing of corn to produce ethanol for blending with gasoline for fuel additive became a major prop of the U.S. agriculture since the Bush administration, when they proposed the energy policy of 2005, which amended the Clean Air Act, requiring the EPA to mandate annual volumes mm-hmm. of biofuel, mostly corn ethanol, to be blended with gasoline fuel, heating fuel, jet fuel. And then the growth of the U.S. ethanol production has been so that almost 40% of all U.S. corn grown is for ethanol, right?
Yep.
And so then you have, you know, most USA gasoline today is E10, right? 10% ethanol.
Mm-hmm.
And then today the USA is the world's largest corn producer by far. So when the EPA intervenes and then hands off waivers that hit that market, you can imagine sort of the tailspin a little bit.
Well, absolutely. If the president said, mm-hmm. look, we don't have to keep making this gasoline with ethanol in it.
Yeah.
We're doing away with that restriction. Mm-hmm. Of course the corn market's going to hurt.
Sure, sure. And this is hitting Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska, Indiana, right? We get that.
Mm-hmm.
We understand.
And it was a corn farmer that said, we understand this is going to hurt us.
Yes.
But in the long run, it's going to be better for us.
Yes. Yes. And so that's what I was kind of actually getting to, was that you've got to see the big picture.
Yeah.
And I think the moves that have been made are about big picture. And what does the press do? They dial in on the very specifics of the day instead of looking at the big picture and applauding that. It's kind of funny to me, you know, had Obama made that move, he would have been hailed as
hero.
No. Nobel Peace Prize. Yep. Again. We can't wait to give it to you again. You know that that's a reward, right? That they love to give presidents that fulfill New World Order is that prize. Anyway, so they gave it to him, what, a year in? He hadn't even done anything. He hadn't even fulfilled anything.
Still hasn't.
Except screw us over, and they gave him a prize. Thanks for screwing us over. We'll have to see. Trump has pledged to protect the renewable fuel standard of 05, which mandates a certain amount of biofuel added to fuel supply each year. Many farmers are feeling betrayed by the EPA. I can understand. And like, that's the hurt part, right,
mm-hmm.
that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of have to stick with this a little bit to understand what that fallout will mean. But war, can you imagine the price gouging of oil? When that happens? I mean, my gosh, I'm hoping we don't go down that road.
But you notice they say many farmers feel betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
They don't also mention the fact that many farmers don't feel betrayed.
That is very true. It's true. And so just trying to give both sides to this. And that's a hard thing to do because of the way it's painted.
Right.
Yeah.
Always.
And skewed. And boy, do I understand that. Now, you know, did President Trump, again, a good move, you know. Did he slam J.P. Morgan Chase with a criminal enterprise indictment, their largest bank?
That's going to hurt somebody.
So there's, it's like, it's, it, you know, it's funny. It's like good moves, bad moves, but all in context have to be understood for their length of time as well. It's kind of like when Trump was talking about rhetoric with North Korea. Do you remember this? And everybody thought he was hyping it up, and in the background, that wasn't what was going on. So that's why I always leave a little bit of margin for that, too, because you can read from Wall Street Journal to the Post. I just gagged a little, just threw up a little in my mouth, or New York Times, and get all kinds of news that paints everything. And a lot of it could be truthful in the way that they could paint it for the day, which would make sense for that day. And I know all of you know that I'm preaching to the choir. But I think that there's so much going on right now that it's hard. It is hard to fit all those pieces together and to understand. But I do get the piece where we could be doing things that would drag us into a war, and that's the last thing we need. And I'm hoping cooler heads prevail. That's what I'm hoping, and I know you are too out there. You have to be at this point, right?
Well, I think we can be a little confident that cooler heads may prevail. He did get rid of
Bolton. True. He did get rid of Bolton.
The number one warmonger in the world.
Yeah. Our relationship with Saudi Arabia, boy, that's a deep one. There was some mysterious explosion going on in the far eastern district of Siberia that targeted a couple of facilities. See, there have been little things like that. Mexico, all kinds of little things going on that when you try to put all those pieces together, it comes out to, you know, like 4 days of mystery, because it is hard to try and figure out what in the world, are they connected? What's going on? And when Saudi Arabia's most important oil refinery was being targeted, you know, who was behind that? See, I never ever put it past a country to actually do something to themselves. Why is that, Kate? It's happened so many times that you can't even hardly quantify it. Is that why?
I found it real interesting that the explosion in Siberia was a bioweapons lab.
That is interesting. Italy's largest oil refinery going up in flames and explosions. Mexico's largest oil refinery, explosion. Siberia, explosion. Come on.
It's like things are happening globally.
Yes, and all about the same thing. Isn't that amazing? Like all the explosions just spontaneously going on in the same time period.
Well, what type of people would be interested in that kind of disruption globally?
The globalists? It's kind of like the oil refineries are being targeted. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I don't mean to laugh. It's nothing to joke about.
It's so obvious.
It's so obvious. Oh, man. Oh, you little globalists, you. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi, welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. So happy that you are. And I welcome all of you global listeners as well. I have Uncle Milty with me. And make sure you contact us, Kate at katedalyradio.com. I'm on Twitter, The Kate Daly Show, Facebook, The Kate Daly Show. And, of course, Uncle Milty at katedalyradio.com. You can get a hold of him, too. And he reads every email just like I do. I might not get back to you right away, but I do read them. Rest assured, I read them, even the naughty ones.
I answer the death threats immediately.
Do you? Running scared, are you? And of course not. He's joking. Anyway, you know what? You're invited to call in 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. I just want to mention something. You know, it was kind of interesting. Over the weekend, I had a couple of nieces and nephews over. And By the way, there's a guy that makes a teeter-totter that spins, and nobody makes them in the United States, and he's in Canada. And you can actually go check this out on the Kate Daly Show Facebook page. I put up a video of it, and it is the coolest toy for kids, and it gets them exercising. It gets them outside, and it's awesome. And then I put the email to order one. He is the only one that makes them.
Really?
And this thing is so fun. It spins as fast as you can put your arms and legs and keep pumping. It spins you around. It's the cutest thing. Two-seaters, four-seaters, yeah.
Sounds dangerous to me.
Yes! I'm sick of getting wrapped in bubble wrap. And the U.S., these are kind of old school, and something for the grandkids or your kids that they would absolutely love, because these kids, probably 20 times, they were on it at midnight, for Pete's sakes. They were having so much fun on this thing. They actually got up in the morning and went out in their pajamas on the grass playing on this thing. Spinning teeter-totter. It's the coolest thing. Anyway, we brought up Brady Bunch. And I said, you know, have you ever seen the Brady Bunch? And, of course, these kids hadn't seen it. And so we watched an episode of the Brady Bunch, okay? And it was the cutest thing because these nieces and nephews came from a blended family, okay? And are in a blended family right now. And I never realized how much it answers all those questions. And I mean, it really deals with the problems of how, you know, his kids versus her kids and how they kind of, you know, came together. It was kind of ahead of its time for that time period, truly.
Yeah, because it wasn't a wine fest.
No, it was just, okay, we have a problem, but we got to be a cohesive family. So let's try and work it out. The other thing I noticed about it, because they wouldn't stop watching it. They wouldn't. It's like 20-minute episodes without the commercials, and they wouldn't stop watching it because it was so benign and cute and just covered lying and blaming somebody. So the dad explains circumstantial evidence and don't blame somebody too quick. And it was really fun to actually sit and remember the little lessons that it had. And I just want to say something about the Brady Bunch, because I think kids today actually would benefit from watching it. And the kids, honestly, they didn't care that it was back in the 70s. They could have cared less. They loved the way it was written and how the storylines went, because they were funny. But what I noticed was it made the dad the hero of the family, the rock of the family.
Yep.
And I really loved that, because since 1970, you haven't seen any show. You name me a show where the dad is competent, is a nice guy, is the rock, everybody loves him in the family, and the words of wisdom coming from the dad, and everybody has that, that dad quality comes shining through. And I've never seen another show even attempt to do what they did with that. Do you want to know why that show is so popular and why it stayed popular for years when the critics didn't like it? It's because it showed a family that had a wonderful setup as far as, it was a blended family. And for the time, I could see how people could go, well, it was a blended family. You know what? Just put that aside for a second. They showed the dad as competent, sound, full of wisdom, good guy. And I just have to give props for that. And if you want your grandkids or kids to see something that will actually teach them about lying and teach them about how to solve a problem, how to come together, how to deal with all kinds of issues, dating, everything, I thought it was one of the cutest shows. So I just had to give it some props.
Well, that was before television went from becoming an entertaining, educational forum to a propaganda forum.
Yeah, where they painted men as bumbling idiots. And then it became, if you've noticed this whole shift, it went from the dad as bumbling idiots to then both parents as bumbling idiots. And now the kids are smarter than the parents. And I just wanted to bring that up, because I feel like we don't have a lot of mediums left. You know, before 1970, you could probably point out a few shows where the dad was the center. Father Knows Best. A couple of shows, right?
Yep.
Leave It to Beaver, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people go, oh, that's so 50, so old-fashioned. Is it old-fashioned, or is it just the best way for a family to be wired?
Yeah,
it's the best way for a family to be wired. You'll have the most success that way.
Yeah, I think, Father Knows Best, he didn't come home one day and announce to the family that he decided he's homosexual,
Right.
And destroy the family when he did it.
Right.
those things didn't used to happen as if it's normal.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I know the history of Father Brady. You don't need to remind me. But you know what? None of that ever came out on the show.
Yeah, what happened in real life is irrelevant.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter. And yeah, he was gay. It didn't matter. What mattered was the message of that particular program and what it taught kids and why it resonated with families, why it was important.
What matters mm-hmm. is that even though he was homosexual, he didn't insist it be part of the show.
Yeah.
Today, they insist, well, I'm gay. I want it to be in this show.
So true. I'm getting a lot of hate mail right now, really hateful comments, because I wrote a piece about a message to the LGBTQ, and it was basically this, you know, and I've said this before on the show, so I won't belabor it, but it was, you know, why are you seeking after and not being honest about the fact that you want the community to get behind you? Why does the community have to be behind your sexuality? Why is that important? Why can't you just be? My community doesn't need to be behind my religious beliefs. They don't need to be behind anything I do, parenting or as a family. I just am. Why? Why the need for that? Because I was looking at some websites, some pride websites, and they had stated goals, and the goals were we're going to work until the entire community, and it's basically this, changes their values. And why do you have to go about changing everybody else's values to meet your agenda? And it has become a political agenda. And the accusations right now with those part of that community is we're beaten on every corner. We walk out and I can't walk down the street with my loved one. I'm sorry, what are we, in the 1920s? It's 2019. I'm pretty sure you walk down the street just fine. I'm not seeing all kinds of reports about hate crimes for LGBT. And if you were tossed out of an apartment, how do you know it's because you were gay? Maybe you're just horrible with money. Maybe you just weren't a good renter. Maybe you were loud and obnoxious. Why is that always the go-to assumption? So I wrote a piece basically saying my piece. You know, can you please listen? Because nobody's trying to be mean. So don't go to that extreme. And it's so amazing how much hate mail one can get.
Oh, boy.
Because the comments back are, she doesn't understand what we go through. Okay. Then prove to me what you're going through, because a lot of us are kind of questioning the whole hyperbole about we're beaten on every corner, everybody throws rocks at us, everybody's mean and they hate us.
Fire us every day.
Yeah, they fire us, they toss us out, they're just mean. And I'm going, no, I don't think that's happening. I don't see that happen anywhere. I see people bending over backwards to be supportive is what I see. And no, I don't live in a bubble. So, and I even grew up in California, imagine that. But I think it's amazing. And the point I was trying to make with this is that we have become a society that we, you know, this group, this very vicious group, because if you're not championing their cause, man, they are vicious. They'll go after your business. They'll go after you personally. They will go after you. And I think that's really quite sad, as it speaks to that group's agenda. If they didn't have an agenda, they wouldn't be so volatile and
That's
mean
right.
if you don't agree with what they're doing. It isn't about love. It's not about suicide prevention. There's not more suicides for gay teens than regular teens. So it isn't about that, but they hide behind that. And I get tired of having to just deal with statements that aren't true. So I was calling them on the statements. And boy, the hate, man. You'll get some hate, too.
I'm sure some of them will
go your way, which is kind of sad, isn't it?
It is and it isn't. I mean, you know, I believe actually that when they write that hate mail,
mm-hmm.
they're thinking to themselves, am I really doing the right thing here?
Yeah.
I have to believe that.
Well, what is all this about? It's because they might not feel good about what they're doing, so they're going out for the community justification. They want community validation.
Mm-hmm.
They want the community to bolster up the choice, and so they get louder and louder about it and more in your face about it, and they want the community to change. Be honest about what you want, first of all. It's not honest. We're not having an honest discussion out there. Everybody's dancing around each other and mm-hmm. tiptoeing around the word love. I love you and you love me. It's a love fest. Big heart emoji. That is not what's going on here. So people are getting really fed up and frustrated because they can't get across to the LGBTQ. Be gay. Nobody cares. You be gay over there. It's fine. Have an event. Fine. But don't, please don't, please stop trying to make and force and guilt and shame and PC everybody into championing your cause. And I've talked about this on the show before, so I really wasn't going to belabor all of that. But I really can't impress upon you how much these people will not listen to anyone. They won't listen to another point of view.
Not a bit.
If they're all about diversity, man, I don't know what diversity they think they're promoting, because, there's no diverse thought. You're either on board or you hate them.
That's it.
There's nobody in the middle. Well, I'm on neutral ground over here, and I'm saying I'm in the middle. I'm saying do what you want. I don't care, but don't put it in my face every 5 seconds. There's no need for that. Don't go to my schools and make them teach it. Don't go demand stuff at our churches. Don't make all these demands. Don't make a cake baker bake your cake. Don't make the wedding photographer take your photo. Yeah. America isn't about coercion.
Not only that, but they do that intentionally to cause problems, because, you know, if I belong to a small group of people, a minority group, I would want to give my business to that minority group.
Yeah.
I would find the gay baker.
Yeah.
Hey, how about baking us a cake?
Right. If people, yeah, you're right. You're right. That's true. And if people like what you're doing, they'll follow you.
Absolutely.
And if people think it's right, they'll be on board. You don't have to coerce. So why are you coercing communities into your what you want, you know? I don't go have a parade for my religious beliefs, because they're just mine. I just am. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to get the community behind my choices to feel like I'm accepted. And you're not being accepted. So quit with the we're not included. I think you're included everywhere. In fact, there's days and months for you. There's all kinds of things and perks and all kinds of things, built into our society right now.
Yeah. It's like the difference between evangelizing and proselytizing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Proselytizing is where you coerce people into believing in your faith.
Well, they say that if you don't embrace us, you're against us, and how dare you? And then they harp on your human ability to love. And so there were comments like, you know, what would, you know, you're not being like Jesus. No, Jesus actually, I hate that one, because Jesus had a set of standards and he loved everybody, but he still maintained his standards.
Yes.
And he brought people up to his standards. He didn't just say whatever goes. I'm trying to follow that example, actually. And so I feel strongly that if we don't speak up about this more, and we don't say how we feel, and we get too PC'd into being quiet, that we're not going to recognize anything 5 years from now. I really do believe that. I think this agenda is such a politically driven hot mess that it permeates everything, because they won't stop until all of America has changed their value system. They will not stop until that happens.
Do you remember that thing on Mad TV, lowered expectations?
Oh, yeah.
That's what happened.
Right. I mean, I can believe what I want to believe. The greatest thing about America is that you don't have to promote diversity. We're already a diverse nation. And the other great thing about America is I value my freedom and I value your freedom. You say what you want. Allow me the freedom to say what I want. Don't go on a one-way street there. Don't say your piece and then tell me I can't say what I want to say and call me a hater, please. We have to stop this kind of nonsense. It's getting really out of hand, and I don't know if people, I mean, I know people are realizing it, but we've got to speak up more. I put
it
on Facebook. Go check it out, The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, and you can go read it and share it. You can read the hate underneath. And I'm not going to say hate. I'm just going to say they weren't very nice comments. but that's okay. I still get to say my piece, because I still live in America. That's the whole point. I'll be right back with Peter Pitts from the former FDA. Be right back. You're not going to want to miss this conversation.